today on Living on Every Word.
When I look at this passage of Scripture and I see the first thing that he says about us is that you are new creatures in Christ. You are new. And I want to say this with all the conviction of my heart. This is your life. This is your life.
At some point in your life, you may have asked the question, what's this life all about? Well, today, Pastor Mike Fritcher describes the life God intends for every one of us and how we can get it in part one of the sermon series, This Is Your Life.
Living on Every Word.
First of all, thank you guys so much for supporting Baptist Student Ministry. My name is Clayton. I get to be on staff at the BSM at Tarleton State. And it's just been a huge blessing, so thank you for being a part of that. Beach Reach is something that happens every year. It's about 750 students this year that go down to South Padre Island. And if you know anything about South Padre Island during spring break, there's roughly about 20 to 30,000 college students from all over the country that go, and they go for about a week, and they just drink it up, and they just party, and they have that kind of lifestyle. And so Beach Reach goes down there and offers free rides to keep them off the road and does free pancakes to help them. Well, to help them eat, let's be honest. And so to be perfectly honest, I'm kind of weirded out being with you guys because y'all are all sober. And so this is, I'm going through culture shock being back. But the Tarleton crew went down there, and just to tell you a little bit about just a snapshot of our day. Our day started about 8 o'clock that morning, and we did pancake breakfast till about noon, and then we spent about 3 hours on the beach sharing the gospel with people. And then we had the afternoon off for a little bit, and then we had worship, and then we got on the vans, and we drove, and we did the 10 o'clock till the 8 in the morning shift. So we were on vans picking up people. And in that day, just to give you a snapshot of what that day looks like, we came in contact, the 15 Tarleton students, we came in contact with 150 spring breakers. Of those 150 spring breakers, we were able to pray with, make sure I get this right, we were able to pray with 86 of them. Just let's pray for you. You know, what's something, what's a need in your life, something like that. And of those 150 people, we were able to share the gospel with 75 of them. And that's not a blanket, you're not getting out of our van until you answer these questions, yes or no. This is students sitting in the van, Tarleton students sitting in the van with spring breakers, engaging them in conversation, and through that, sharing the gospel, sharing their testimony, sharing a story. Tarleton students who walked in completely freaked out by what was going on around them. By the end of the week, someone gets in the van, it doesn't matter what their situation is or what they were wearing. It was, hey, how are you doing? What's your name? Let me pray for you. Let me tell you about the greatest thing that ever happened in my life. We just finished the 8 o'clock shift, and so we went to Whataburger because that's what you do when you do an all-nighter. You go to Whataburger. And we were sitting in Whataburger, and these guys have been up for 36 hours by this point. They're exhausted. And I look up because I'm trying to get, you know, ducks in a row, and like, come on, guys, let's get in the van. Let's go. Please, let's just go. It's early morning. And I look up, and Tarleton students are spread out through Whataburger, and they're sharing the gospel after having been shared the gospel for 36 hours. And they're not done yet. And some of them, it was a four-hour conversation. But with all that said, guys, thank you for being a part of what God is doing at Mission Arlington, at South Padre. It's just been a huge blessing. And so thank you guys very much.
Thank you, Clayton. So what is this? Youth off, sharing faith, sharing life. College students picking up folks that are partying. What is this worship that we've done this morning? What is this life? And I want to say this with all the conviction of my heart. This is your life, church. This is your life. It's your life in Christ. And when I think about your life, I think about this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 21. And this is who, you know, we sang the song, I am who he says I am. This is who we are in Christ Jesus. This is who you are. This is just a taste of the greater body of Jesus Christ at work and how great His church is in His eyes and in His life and in His plans and in His purposes. You are the church of the living God. We are the church together. When I look at this passage of Scripture and I see the first thing that He says about us is that you are new creatures in Christ. You are new, and you're always new in Christ. Notice what He says in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away, period. Behold, new things have come. Old things have passed away. They're dead. They're gone. They're done away with. God has dealt with those old things, whether they were sin patterns, whether they were sin mistakes, or failures to redo, because of sin and bad choices. The old has passed away, the Scripture says. And in that word that He uses is like a final thing. It's a finality about it. But then when you move to the next word, when it says all things have become new, it's more like in a perfect tense. It's like all things have become new, and they are becoming new, and they will continue to be new. He's saying if you're in Christ today, you have new things that you're experiencing today because you are a new creature. You have a new nature. You have a new thought. You have a new lifestyle. You have a new heart. You have new feelings, the Scripture speaks of. You have new emotions in Christ. It's all new. And new things have come and are coming and will continue to come. When we are in Christ Jesus, and you remember when you first came to Christ, and things were so wonderful and so new and so fresh. Well, the promise is that, yeah, they were new then, but they're new today. Because you are still a new creation. You're not archaic, primitive, old. You are new in Christ. And that word is used to describe the form and the substance of your life. You've got a new nature. That's the form. You've got new substance to you. And that substance is Christ. It's Jesus. It's Him who is always new. It's the life of Christ in you. That's why He says, if you are in Christ, and by the way, if you're in Christ, Christ is in you. This new man, this new woman, you are new in Christ. That is a great, great thought. Matter of fact, when I look at Scripture and look through Scripture, Jesus is one who will say, I am making all things new. I'm making it all new for you. That's who I am. That's what I've come to do in your life. New, fresh, in the midst of struggle, in the midst of heartache. Old passed away, new things have come. We mentioned just a moment ago, and go on and keep your place, and go to Romans chapter 6, if you would, for just a moment. A very familiar passage. And so He says in verse 1 of chapter 6, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never, ever be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? And don't you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life with Him. Great picture. A great picture. The person comes into these waters to say, I'm a new person, I'm a new man, I'm a new woman, and I'm in Christ now. Well, what happened? You were buried. You died and you were buried with Christ. And then you were raised to walk in newness of life. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things have become, are becoming, and will continue to become new. Amen? Listen, that's what you have to look forward to in the Christian life. This newness of life. And you know, I love the passage of Scripture in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 19. Lamentations, if you're new to your Bible, maybe you can find Jeremiah. You might go to the middle of your Bible, Psalms, turn right and go. And when you pass Jeremiah, there's Lamentations. Lamentations is a hard book. Jeremiah talks about his brokenness as a prophet.
and how consumed he is by the sin and consumed by mourning of all the rebellion that's taken place around him. And he speaks of his affliction in chapter 3, verse 19. And this is what he says. He says, "Remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and bitterness. Surely my soul remembers," verse 20, "and is bowed down within me. And then this I recall to mind. Therefore, I have hope." In the midst of the affliction, in the midst of the heartache, in the midst of the mourning, in the midst of the failures, he says, "I remember something. And oh, hope springs up into my heart. It springs up because I remember what he says and who he is and what he's about. I have hope. I recall this to mind." Watch. Verse 22, "The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease." They never end. They never stop. They never are finished. God is never finished with loving kindness. You know what's that word? That word is a very important word in the Old Testament. Probably one of the most important words. It's called kesed. Kesed in Old Testament. In the New Testament, if you look at Greek language, and when the Old Testament was translated into Greek, they used the word grace for it. But it's so much deeper, so much just, I mean, yeah, grace is a great word. But think about this for a minute. Loving kindness. Love, kindness. And then it has the idea of mercy, grace, and the abiding favor of God. How many of you ladies have a diamond on your hand? Yeah, look at it. Look at the multifacet of that diamond. It's got shapes. It's got sides to it. Well, that's kesed. Kesed, mercy. It's the mercy of God that comes along and pulls us out of the pit. It's the grace of God when he saves us and he empowers us to do the things, to walk the way that God calls us to walk. And then there's the abiding favor of God, where God says, "I favor you. I favor you. And with this favor, I will empower you. And with this favor, I will pray for you as Jesus intercedes. I will pray for you as the Holy Spirit intercedes for you with groanings too deep for words." He says, yes, listen, his loving kindness never, ever ceases. And then notice what else he says. This kesed, it never ceases. "And his compassions never fail." His mercies never fail. His natural affections for you never, ever fail. Yeah, isn't that a great word? Affection is what that word means. Mercy, compassion. Now watch this. Verse 23, "These things, loving kindness that never ceases, the mercy, grace, abiding favor of God, the compassion of God, the mercy of God, the natural affection of God for you, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." You are created in Christ Jesus. You are new in Christ Jesus. And those mercies and that loving kindness and that power is available for you every single day and moment of your life. You have something to look forward to today and when you wake up in the morning, because his mercies and his kesed is new every day. Every day. Will you believe that today? That you are a new creation in Christ. And because you're new, you have a new attitude. Listen, if you have the same old stinking attitude about life that you had before you came to Christ, or you prayed the prayer and you're still having a stinking attitude, or you're still angry, or you're still walking through life with all these grudges and all these other things in your life, maybe you ought to do a heart check. A heart check. Because if I'm a new creation and everything is becoming new for me today, and his mercies are new every morning, his compassions and this grace, this loving kindness of God, has God messed up and failed? No. New means change. New means fresh. New means says, that's not me anymore. That's the old. It's passed away. It's done. It was buried with Christ. I'm raised up in Christ Jesus this very day. You are new creation. Amen. And you get to live that as a mama. You get to live that as a dad, as a grandma, as a pa. You get to live that as a husband. You get to live that as a wife. You get to live that in the midst of your work and just whatever your title is at work. That's what you get to do. Because you know, it just doesn't stop there. What is this all about? What is this about youth going to Mission Arlington and people all around you right now who are having desire from the heart of God to go and to be sent, maybe not overseas, but maybe someplace, maybe just across the street, maybe just in the school that you work at. But that God is doing something in our hearts. Why? Because it's new. And it's always new. It's always fresh. I want to say this. And I don't really want to say it in harshness. If you're not experiencing a new life in Christ, you're missing out. It's not God's fault. It's not. There are some of us in this place, there are some of us that, listen, we know what it's like to live the abundant life. We know what it's like to walk after Him and follow after Him. And somehow we've gotten lost. Somehow we've gotten distracted. The Bible calls that leaving your first love. And you know what He says about that? Remember where you fell and get back to doing the first things that you did when you had this first love and new love. You're new in Christ. And you know what that means? It doesn't stop there. Look at the next thing. When we talk about, what is this all about? What is our church all about? What is Cottonwood to be about? What is the local church to be about? Because when you look at this passage of Scripture, this is not a Scripture to an individual. It's to the church of the living God. It's to all of us together. He being the head. We are new in Christ. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. We're back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. Now all these things are from God. What things? All the new things. All the new experiences. All the new adventures. All the new life. All the new mercies. All the new loving kindness. They're new every morning. And they're from God. They're from God's hands. I ask you this question. Do you hold, if God's given you mercy, and God's given you loving kindness, and God's given you this chesed, and He gives this to you, you hold it in your hand, so to speak. And the question I want to ask is, are you being good stewards today of the things that God's given you? Because God wants to continue to shape you by the very things that He's given to you, by the very giftedness, by the very principles of Scripture. Am I being a good steward of what God has given to me? Because when He says these things are from God, they are from God. And you can't receive anything from God. You can't receive anything unless it comes from God. Notice verse 18. Who this God reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And watch this. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Reconciled. What does that mean? Well, It's like an exchange. It's like making two things one. How many of you you get your bank statement and you reconcile your statement to your? Nobody does that anymore. Oh, you still do that? Okay, online banking, right? Right. And some of us are so analytical in that we got to have it to the penny. I just want you to know I don't have to have the penny. Oh, that's what it says. That's what it is. Okay. But we look for every penny. Why? Because we want to reconcile the ledger to the actual account. We want to make that one, right? Reconcile it. Okay. This ministry of reconciling is kind of like that. It's kind of like making two things into one. And God has invited you to be a part of that, because that's what the Christian life is. It's God or Jesus in Christ taking the hand of God, so to speak, and the hand of us and making us one, reconciling us to himself and to one another, making us one, a reconciliation. And that oneness can only come through Christ. That oneness can only come through Christ, whether it's a married couple, whether it's a relationship, whether it's people in the church. Listen, if you're new in Christ, you have been committed the word of reconciliation. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the good news. It's the good news by which God sends his son as a sacrifice in our place, in the place of all those children in Arlington that our children minister to, but to every other person we come in contact with. You have a ministry of reconciliation. You are a reconciler. Reconcilers for God. You know, the best way that I can really explain that is it's kind of in a negative sense. So, but go and you'll just stay with me. Go to Romans chapter 1, okay? Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Notice verse 18 for just a moment, and we're going to get down to just 25. When God talks about, when Romans talks about unbelief, unbelievers, those who are don't know Christ, and notice he says there's consequences to that. In verse 18, he says, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them. God made it evident to them. Because since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, his divine nature, they've been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they're without excuse. Because even though they knew God, they didn't honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened." Verse 22, "Professing to be wise, they became fools." Now watch, just the same word, okay? "They exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, and of birds, and of four-footed animals, and crawling creatures." What do? They exchange something. They exchange God, the worship of God, for the worship of man, the created. The created became more important than the creator. The creature became more important than the creator. Mainly the creature that is us. He says, listen, they exchanged that. They were worshiping God, and at some point they said, "Nah, no thanks, I'll take the worship of man over the worship of God." And they exchanged it. They got reconciled to something else. Notice the next thing he says, "Therefore God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. They exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever." They exchanged the truth for the lie. That's what they did. When you have a ministry of reconciliation, you go to people like this to reconcile them back so that they may exchange the lie for the truth and the worship of man for the worship of God. That's what our world is today. That's where it is. That's where it is in your jobs. That's where it is. It's folks worshiping the created instead of the creator. And the ministry of reconciliation, the ministry of exchange, is to say, "Hey, I've got something better for you than man. I got something better for you than the relationship. I got something better for you than the immorality. I got something better for you. If you'll exchange that, God has exchanged himself for you." Really, to reconcile himself. He's given himself for you. And you are messengers of that. You have a ministry of reconciliation. I don't know about you, but I know that there's a lot of folks in the church today, instead of seeing that they have a ministry of reconciliation, they have a ministry of critical spirit. Critical of those people. Angry at those people. Look at these people over here living the way they're living. And that's not our ministry. Condemnation and judgment is not our ministry. We have such great hope in reconciliation. Reconciliation of lives, reconciliation of marriages, reconciliation of churches, reconciliation to God. That's why we go. We have that ministry of reconciliation. Every one of us who are in Christ Jesus have been given the word of reconciliation. And I ask again, we hold it in our hands. Are we good stewards of that? And what I mean by good stewards is just, you know what? No matter what's happened in my life, I got to keep my eyes on the prize, Jesus. Because there's inevitably somebody says, how do I do that? Well, you did it before if you're in Christ. Get back to those first things. That first love with God, that first love with Christ, to know that you yourself was reconciled in your darkness, in your pride, in your anger. And therefore, I don't have a ministry of critical spirit, but I have a ministry of life. That's what you have, church. That's what we have. Our God has committed the word of reconciliation to us. But that doesn't finish there. I mean, when you go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says, listen, you are new in Christ. You have a ministry of reconciliation. God has given that ministry to you. He has committed the word of reconciliation. And then he says in verse 20, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. Watch, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God, because he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God. You're new. You have a ministry of reconciliation, and you are ambassadors for Christ. You know what an ambassador does? An ambassador lives in a residence overseas, and he is the representative to that country for his country, his home country. Let's just say an American ambassador speaks on behalf of his president upon his values, speaks upon that direction. He doesn't speak his own opinion. He speaks the opinion of the leader of the kingdom he comes from, the country he comes from. That's what an ambassador is. That's what his responsibility is. And we're ambassadors for Christ to this kingdom, from the kingdom of God to this kingdom of the world. And it's not what you feel about God. It's what God says about himself and his values in the word of God. Because I'm going to tell you, you want a feeling? The enemy will give you a feeling. But that's not our final source of authority, folks. It's what God says, the ruler of the kingdom. You have an opportunity. Every one of you have an opportunity, some way, to be involved. You are the church of the living God. You are new creations. You have ministries of reconciliation. You are ambassadors for Christ. And you have an opportunity tomorrow, tonight, to say what God says, to share what the kingdom says, what the gospel says. Let's not miss that word, and let's not miss that opportunity. Let's not miss the glory of God in our lives, in our midst. Let's not miss it. So what is this all about today? A baby dedication? A trip report from our youth? Trip report from our college minister, a worship today, a standing before God and opening the word of God. It's about your life in Christ. New creation, reconcilers, ambassadors for Christ. Amen. Amen.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com.